Peace and blessings. How's everyone doing on this Sunday morning? This is DBJ, and this is the Cold World Podcast. So it's early Sunday morning. You know, I always get up early, whether I have to work, or I'm off, or whatever. I'm usually up early. I'm usually up before the birds start chirping. You know what I mean? I don't know where I got that from, getting up so damn early. I don't know if it was because of the boot camp experience I went through, getting woke up at 5:45 in the morning and shit every morning, screamed and yelled at, get up, all that shit. I don't know if that 6 months experience kind of, without me even really realizing it, maybe that has me getting up early. Or I don't know really where that came from, because I even remember back even as a kid, loving like Saturday mornings and getting up, watching Super Friends, eating cereal and shit, and watching cartoons and then going outside and playing and shit. Yeah, I remember all that shit. But yeah, but I don't know. I normally get up between like 3:30 and like 5 o'clock every morning, like clockwork every morning. No alarm, none of that stuff. I just get up. Normally just take Charlie out, make sure Marley has food and water. You know, that's normally the first thing I do when I get up. You know, take care of them, make coffee, you know, straighten up if anything needs to be cleaned up real quick, do that. Sit down, pop that news on, watch the news, and just, you know, pretty much just meditate and chill. I think part of that too, and I don't know if anyone else feels this way, and I could be totally wrong too, but I feel like as like people get older, or even just older people now, you know, maybe people like in their 70s or 80s or 90s or whatever, I feel like older people generally, for the most part, not all, for the most part I'm saying, get up early in the morning. I mean like early, you know, like 5, 6, even like, even if they don't have stuff to do, you know. Because I think older people, I think as you get older and you see like the end coming, you know what I mean? Because when you're older, like, you have to start thinking about that. Because I always wonder about that, like someone that's like 90 years old and they're still alive, or they're like 85 years old and they're still alive. You know, I wonder, like, just what their daily thought is. Like, you have to think about, like, is today going to be the last day? Is, because, like, at that point, you're kind of on a countdown. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's got to be tough. Just, I really wonder what someone of that age, like, thinks about. Because let's face it, when you're 90 years old, like, it's great that you're still living and stuff like that, but you have to just know in your mind, like, that the end is coming. That's got to be stressful just thinking about that, because it's like, damn, I want to keep living, but, you know, the end is nearing. So, yeah, it's done. But I think older people generally, like, they want to get as much life as possible. You know, they want the day to last as long as possible. You know what I mean? Like, maybe like another way of like extending life, you know what I mean? Rising real early. Because I used to even notice that in prison. When I was in prison, like even some of the like older cellies, because I had some cellies that were like older and shit. And I noticed they always would get up super, super early. Make coffee, watch the news, you know what I'm saying? And like a lot of the younger people were, you know, staying up all night, sleeping in, you know what I mean, stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm going on a super deep dive, or maybe there's something to that, you know what I mean? So just generally, basically I'm saying I think older people appreciate life more in general, you know what I mean? And as they get older, they want to enjoy every minute of it, you know what I mean? So that may start out with just getting up real early. I don't know, just randomly thinking. But what I wanted to kind of talk about this morning a little bit is nothing like too super serious or anything like that, but I was like, when I first had started out doing my podcast and I was kind of getting stuff together, working on content, you know, just writing things down, doing some research on things, I looked up the top 20 podcasts. Well, I did this, like I said, a couple months ago, because I've been doing this for about a month and a half now, I think, right around. But even back then I did it, but I did a Google search maybe 15 minutes ago. And I don't know how super accurate this is, but I looked up, you know, the top 20 podcasts from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know what I'm saying? And I got a list, and it's from 2024. It is the 20 best podcasts from Milwaukee. Okay? And so as I went through them, I came across a lot of sports podcasts, and you know how much I love sports. I've said it on here. I love, absolutely love sports. Basketball, football, all that shit. I love sports. I don't think there's anyone that likes sports more than me. You know what I mean? But as I'm looking through the top 20 podcasts, Milwaukee, I'm scrolling down, like more than half of the top podcasts are sports themed podcasts, whether it's Bucks, Packers, Brewers, you know what I mean? I found more than a few that are sports themed, and that's great. That's cool, right? We love our sports here in this state. That's great. But it's just like, man, where is the content about like issues and like city issues and like what's going on in Milwaukee? I'm not talking about what's going on downtown. I'm not talking about what's going on in the Third Ward, down at the lakefront, and all that kind of stuff, right? Because for the most part, those things that I just talked about, like the lakefront, the downtown, all that kind of stuff, for the most part, those things are doing well, right? Mostly positive stuff to talk about when you're into that, you know, that arena or whatever, right? But man, like, other than our two black local radio stations, 101.7 The Truth and 860 WNOV, and also, you know, Homer Blow, you know, on Facebook doing his thing. Shout out Homer Blow. Other than that, like, who's talking about what's going on in the inner city? You know, who's talking about the lead laterals in the city? You know what I'm saying? Who's talking about crime, no matter how you feel about it? Who's talking about that? Who's talking about the police brutality that still goes on? Who's talking about the jail deaths at Milwaukee County Jail? Who's talking about what's going on at Waupun Correctional Institution? You know what I'm saying? With inmates and prisoners, you know what I'm saying, getting treated the way they are in there, and people dying in our jails and shit in prisons and stuff. Like, who's talking about that? And then I was thinking, like, well, like, you can't really expect white people to be talking about that. And then white people that are listening, man, you can't, like, you have to be able to sift through some of the things I say. You know what I mean? Because we all have different experiences. You know, and like I said, if you're a white individual, or even sometimes if you're a black individual, a Mexican individual, a Asian individual, or whatever like that, you know what I mean? And you haven't experienced a lot of things, you know, you may want to listen too. I mean, hopefully we can just all learn from each other and just get better. You know what I'm saying? But like, I was just looking at all the podcasts and I'm like, man, like, who's talking about those things? Who's talking about city issues? Who's talking about the homeless? You know what I mean? Who's talking about, you know, Biden and Trump and, you know, what they're going to do, you know, for the election? You know, who's talking about immigration? Because I know people think about this stuff. You know, even like people that do like the sports podcast, or even like people on the news, like our local news, you know what I'm saying? Like Channel 12, Channel 4, you know, Fox 6, CBS 58, and all them. You know, like how do they feel about stuff? You know, that's one thing I always, like the local news, I wish they had the ability, I wish they were able to just kind of speak on what they're about and like what party they're for, you know, whether which one, are, you know, they're rooting for, you know, whatever party they're going for. I wish our local stations could be more like a, you know, like CNN. I'm just using them as an example. Because, you know what they're about. Okay, we know what that station's about. You know, versus like even like a Fox. Okay, you know what they're about. Like Fox is more Republican. CNN is more Democrat. You know what I mean? So I wish our local TV stations could just straight up say, you know, who they're for, what they're about. Because then they could spread information and, you know what I'm saying, and be more of an asset and more of an information provider and more of a link and a source, you know what I'm saying, to like help move things along, you know what I mean? Because sometimes when I'll be watching the local news and you see them sitting there reading the news, you're like, damn, they're just reading a script. I wonder how they really feel about what they're reading. I wonder what how they really feel about that shit, you know what I mean? I don't know, but most of the podcasts are sports related. And the few that I did see that do things that are more like we're talking about city issues or whatever like that. Those are like WUWM, like, you know, UWM or whatever based, you know, through the college or whatever. But other than that, it's sports and all that, and, you know, outdoor stuff, like, that's great, but, like, you know, it's almost like the black and brown people, like, are kind of just forgotten, you know what I mean? It's like we're just kind of walking amongst everyone else, just kind of trying to blend in and shit, you know what I mean? And that's why, that's one of the main reasons why I'm podcasting. You know what I mean? Because I am a black and brown person. Like, I was saying, like, there's only two local black radio stations, man. You know, for black and brown people to listen to. Like, are there any Latin stations here in Milwaukee that are talking about immigration or how we feel about, you know, Trump talking shit about Mexican people and stuff like that, and talking shit about Native Americans? And you've been hearing all this stuff. I played on one of my clips all the racist rants. He's basically disrespected every race and culture of individuals. Go back and listen to that. That's why it really bothers me when I see black and brown people willing to vote for that guy. It makes no sense to me at whatsoever. So that's part of the reason I jumped in, you know, to the podcast, because I want to add a voice for the black and brown people, you know what I mean? So I can shed light on the prison system, so I can shed light on what's going on with the parole system, and talk about how some of the rules are just ridiculous, you know what I mean? So that's what I was up doing early this morning, just sitting here listening to some jazz music. Like I said, got some coffee going, and probably make a little grocery store run later, and that's about it. Watching more March Madness. I think the Bucks play tonight. But yeah, just saw a lot of sports theme podcasts, which is great, you know what I mean? And I'm not hating on that stuff. I'm just trying to prove the point, like, that there's not a ton of, like, city, like, talking about what's going on in the city. Like, I'm talking about, like, the not so great things. Because it seems like people either don't want to talk about it, kind of sweep it under the rug, you know what I mean? And but like, I want to talk about that stuff. So, and there's definitely a lane for black content creators. There's a lane for this, because even when I went on, like, if when I go on my Spotify and I go to my podcast, the Cold World Podcast, you know, the thing where you can click on there and it says more like this, which means, you know, like more podcasts kind of similar to what you're doing or whatever. When I click on that, it goes, it couldn't find any results. There's nothing else out there like mine locally. That's crazy to me. Black and brown people, we need to be out here spreading our voices, and podcasting is the perfect way to do it. And this shit is cheap. I pay for my monthly subscription to my, you know, podcast service where I like upload and download and do my recording and all that. That shit, that's it. It's cheap as hell. You know what I'm saying? You can podcast through your phone. I'm holding my phone in my hand right now, recording this. You know what I mean? I got music in the background that I'm playing. You know what I mean? And that's it. And I'm sitting here talking. It's not hard. I think sometimes people think, like, because when you hear the finished product and you see, like, the page and, ooh, they got a podcast, blah, 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 and you see all that, you think it's all, like, it don't take shit really to do. You just got to know what you're talking about. Talk about stuff that's relevant. You know what I'm saying? Because the things I talk about are never going to go away. They're always going to be important. My content is like, I like to equate it to, it's like a haircut. A haircut, people, you know, barbers and stuff like that, that's never going to go out of style, because people are always going to need a haircut or need their hair done and shit. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's what I'm saying. But yeah, there's definitely room for more content like this. So I'm encouraging more black and Latin and Asian and people, you know what I'm saying? And if I, and if there are other podcasts out there that are talking about and doing similar things to what I'm doing, let me know. Maybe I'm just overlooking and I can't find them. You know what I'm saying? So, but I haven't seen a ton. You know, like I said, a lot of sports cast. You know, Bucks and Brewers and stuff like that. So yeah, just was a little discouraged with that. Like, dang, man. But yeah, so that's about it for now. I was gonna get going, but I'm gonna keep going through that list, and hopefully I can find more black content creators, you know, that are talking about, you know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin city issues, like, you know, the underbelly shit, you know. So with that, I'm going to get out of here for now. Everyone enjoy the rest of your day, and do something good for somebody, and I'll check in with y'all in a couple of days. And to whoever's listening, like I said, family, friends, like whoever, I really appreciate people listening. I really, really do. And with that said, I'm out. Peace. And that's my thing with that. Like, and it really doesn't matter what color, what race, you know, whatever you are. If you're not teaching your kids about racism when they're young, I'm not saying you need to be making them all like scholars on racism and all that. But like, people need to educate their kids like at an early age, at least about the world and how people look at them and how people might treat you, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Because look at it. There's a lot of situations just here in Wisconsin where there's a lot of racism going on in some of our high schools, like up north, you know, in the suburban area, the rural areas where there's like mostly white people. Because, you know, how did, you know, we end up having some of our black and brown kids, you know, that either live out there, so they go to the schools or whatever, you know what I mean? So we're mixed in some of these schools, and some of us would be getting treated like shit. You know what I'm saying? Like I said before, like, I went to, you know, Milwaukee public schools my whole life until my ninth grade year. I ended up going to Nicolet. That was my first true real experience with white people, like on a regular basis. You know what I mean? And my best friend ended up being, well, one of my best friends ended up being a white guy. But he kind of, you know, was more like, he listened to rap music a lot, you know what I'm saying, and shit like that. He did a lot of the same things that we did as black and brown people, you know what I'm saying? Most of his friends were black, like he liked black women, shit like that. So some of the white people at our high school, they didn't like that shit. Because I remember my first, like, real, true, hardcore experience with, like, just straight-up racism at Nicolet was, I remember Irv, my friend's name was Irv. He found a letter in his book bag one day, and it was a racist letter. I don't remember what the letter said word for word. Obviously, it was years and years ago, but it was a racist letter basically telling him, calling him a wigger, and all that. That's what they used to call white people that they thought were trying to act black back in the day. They called them wiggers. So they were calling him a wigger and stuff like that, calling him a nigger lover and all that bullshit, right? Yeah, that shit was crazy. So I know how that goes in these high schools out here, some of these suburban high schools. But my point is, if this stuff is happening in some of these high schools, and I'm not saying it's a lot of people, or I don't know the number, but it's significant enough, you know what I'm saying, to where it's an issue. You know what I mean? Because, like, where are they, where is a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid learning about racism from? You gotta be either being taught it, or you're seeing it, hearing it around you, and you're just picking it up just naturally. Maybe mom and dad are, you know, hurling the N-word around in the house. You know, maybe they calling, you know, Giannis a nigger when he doesn't win the game or misses the shot. Or maybe they're calling Jordan Love a nigger if he can't complete that pass or he throws a pick. You know what I mean? So, like, they're getting it from somewhere. Because you don't just come out the pussy when you're born just hating people. That, like, I don't, I, like, that doesn't even seem possible. Like, right? So these kids are learning it from somewhere, because, and what you have, like, an example too, I mean, this is on a very more extreme level, but, like, those January 6th rioters, right? 95% of them were white. So, like, one could say, you know, because, like, white people are always telling black people, raise your kids, you know, your kids are bad, you need to be better parents. Well, same thing for white parents, raise your kids better. Or you might end up with, like, January 6th rioters. I wouldn't say that a lot of those people were raised the best. Look at how they act. That's all attitude, right? Don't you get a lot of that from your parents when they're raising you? You know what I mean? Spoil. What are January 6th rioters probably? What are some things you can probably guess about their attitudes and their personalities? Would be a pretty solid guess. They're fucking angry, irritable, impatient. You know what I mean? Thinking everybody's about to try to take something from them. Spoiled, entitled, probably were never told no, or not very much when they were kids. Probably given everything, you know what I mean? Probably kind of ran and controlled their households. They probably had guns. They probably had BB guns when they were like 10 years old. Their fathers started taking them to the gun range, teaching them how to shoot guns. As soon as they turned 18, they went and got a gun, all that kind of shit. There's a lot of white kids that do that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, white people, raise your kids better. You know what I'm saying? Just how you're always telling black people to raise our kids, and our kids are thugs and criminals and all that shit. Well, some of yours are too. That's all I'm saying. So, but yeah, that's why I played some of them clips, just to kind of make the point. You know what I mean? Like, man, this world is fucked up. That's why when I talk about race a lot, right? Like, you can almost interject race into a lot or almost everything nowadays. Because like I was saying, especially when it becomes between like white and black people, there's always a potential for like a debate or something like that. You know what I mean? But yeah, so enjoy those clips. Well, not enjoy them, but I just hope I can just shed some light. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say to enjoy those clips. There's nothing to enjoy about that shit. But please listen to the clips, and maybe you can get something from them. And maybe you haven't heard about some of the stuff too. Because like I said, I live here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin and shit, and I know some people are listening in other states. So, but even if you're not from this state, the stuff is relatable. You know what I mean? You can just put it to your state or your state situation. A lot of the stuff is still relatable. Like when it comes to crime, you know, religion, parenting, just life shit, right? So yeah, with that, I just want to say thanks for whoever's listening to my podcast. I really do appreciate it. And like I said, I'll continue to talk about what's important to me and what I'm passionate about. And that's about it. So I'm going to get out of here for now. And until the next one, peace. Yeah, that's what would be tripping me out too. Like, those of you that are familiar with that Candace Owens, that's a black lady that'll be acting white and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Talking shit about black people and stuff like that. And I guess that whoever she was working for, the Daily Wire or whatever that is, I guess they fired her and shit. So now she's trying to, you know, come back home and try to, you know, act black and shit and stuff now. People don't want to have nothing to do with her. I understand. Shit, fuck her. And I ain't into disrespecting women and shit like that. But yeah, she's one of them. She's one of them black women. Just like there's black men like that. Just like there's fucking Mexican men and Mexican women and Asian men and Asian women that act like they don't know who the hell they are and what blood is running through their veins. Yeah, I can't stand that. Really bothers me. And that's the only reason I wanted to talk about that, because normally I wouldn't give Candace Owens any kind of I wouldn't even waste my breath on her. Yeah, she's a waste of skin. I don't like her at all. You know what I mean? How the hell are you going to not be in tune with who the hell you are? Even if you become successful, like I always say about like how some like black people and how some Mexican people, and it really bothers me when it's a Mexican or black person, because that's what I'm mixed with. You know what I'm saying? I hate when I see like, for example, like a Mexican person that like, for example, like a George Zimmerman, right? I'm just using his punk ass. Because he killed a young black dude. Like, clearly, you two, although you're different in color, you still have more in common than you do with a white man. You know what I'm saying? And George Zimmerman's, you know, bitch ass, wanted to play vigilante, wanted to play cop, act like a white cop. You know what I'm saying? Looking at this black kid the same as a lot of white people do. As a little criminal thug, or he's got a hoodie on, he's about to steal, rob, he's about to go do some bullshit, he's on some devious shit. Let me treat him accordingly. And it's like, George Zimmerman, you're a brown man. Don't you realize that white man don't give a shit about you? And when the shit hits the fan, he's gonna treat you accordingly? But then you're sitting here killing a black kid. Yeah, that kind of stuff bothers me. You know what I'm saying? But like the great Paul Mooney used to say, like, everyone that acts that way, or like, for example, people that have seen the movie Life, you know, the black dude in there, like he was carrying around the shotgun and shit, and like he was like basically kissing the white like slave master's butt or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, like shit like that, there's people like that of every race, you know what I'm saying? I call them fakes. You know, you see that, unfortunately, you see that a lot of, you know, you see that sometimes with some Mexican people and Latin people. You know, like it's like they end up coming over or whatever. Some white person gives them, you know, their first opportunity, whether it's a job, helps them with schooling, you know, whatever it is, right? They kind of give them their start, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, they, everything they're getting or everything that, you know, is being given to them or provided or whatever is like from a white person, right? So they start like kind of looking and thinking of them as like the shit, you know what I mean? And they, you know, see black people as just like, oh, whatever, you know, like competition or less than or, you know, whatever and shit. And they start treating other people like disrespectfully. Oh, yeah, I don't like that. Never like that shit. It's like, you gotta know who the hell you are. As I said, there's nothing wrong with getting successful, having money, you know, growing and moving and like learning about other things and being around other people and other cultures and all that kind of shit, right? Like I said, I went to a white high school. Like I had never, but like that was culture shock for me. I never had been around white people until I went to high school. You know what I'm saying? Because I grew up in the city. You know what I mean? But like I'm able to understand other people because I've been around white people. You know, my child's mother is white. You know, most of the schools I went to, you know, most of, you know, a lot of my teachers were white. You know, the prisons and jails that I ended up in, you know, the corrections officers and all them were white. You know, most of the employers that have hired me has been somebody white. You know what I mean? Just think about it. If you're a Mexican person, a black person, or Asian person or whatever, just think about your daily life. Think about where you work. Who signs your checks? Who gives you your schedule? Who's your boss or supervisor? Who owns the company or who's running the shit? It's more than likely a white person, whether it's a man or a woman. So just think about that. You're probably like, damn, dude's right. Yeah, my boss is white. Yeah, my supervisor is white. Yeah, that's true. And think about who's all in your life. And like, who surrounds you, like who you're around just on your daily, average, everyday life. From the minute you get up in the morning, you know, when you get up, go to work, go to the store, all that shit, your friends, your family, like who you give your time to, who you like speak to on a regular basis, the kind of stuff you watch, the music you listen to. Like, just think about that. Are you getting any kind of black content? Are you learning about anything black or brown? Just with what you do and where you go throughout your day? Because if you're a white person and you're, most of your inner circle is white, most of the people you work with are white, most of the places you go to, there's mostly white people. Your employer is white. Where you go to exercise and work out at is white. Where you go watch movies at is white. Where you go shop at is white. Where you go buy your car at is white. You know, all, like everything, all of it, right? How are you getting immersed and understanding about other people, other cultures of people, when you're only coming in contact with them at the gas station, at the grocery store, maybe, or maybe the one or two black people that may happen to work for where you work or work at where you work at? And I'm not saying that ain't for every situation. There's white people that work in black space, mostly black spaces. But I shouldn't have to stop and say that, because if you're not someone who I'm talking about or describing, then you should just, you know, just be like, okay, well, that ain't me. You know what I mean? This don't apply to everyone. So, you know what I'm saying? That's one thing I hate, when you got to stop and be like, oh, well, all, and I don't mean all, and I didn't say, like, man, like, people should be able to sift through and realize, like, if I'm talking about something, if I'm like, well, white people do this, or white people say that, or Asian people do this or they say that, or if I'm like, man, like white people are racist, that doesn't mean I'm saying every single white person on this earth is racist. Come on, man. That's basic common sense. I shouldn't have to stop, you know, and say that and all that, man. We got brains in our heads, like, but yeah, so, but with kind of that kind of stuff, just really hoping, you know, there's more black content out here, just people talking about just black stuff and, you know, and Mexican stuff and Latin stuff. I want to hear more people talking about how Mexico is California and how they came up here and took it. You know what I mean? A lot of that area out in the West, you know, that's California, you know, that was Mexico. Why do you think a lot of them places are called Santa, San Bernardino, Santa Clara, you know, all that kind of stuff? Those are Latin names, man. Come on. But with that, I'm going to get on out of here. I'm going to go pour myself some more coffee and just go straighten up. I got a small load of clothes I'm going to throw in. And then, so do that. Probably be up for maybe like another hour or something. And then I'll probably just lay down, take a nap for a little bit, you know, just re-energize. And then that's it. Get up and get ready for more March Madness. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Everyone enjoy the rest of your day and just remain teachable out here. And just, that's it. To the next one. Peace.
My son just sent it to me, like, Dad, this is what's going on. And,
a father moved to tears, reliving trauma his son experienced.
It really bothered me, for real.
Santonio Martin sharing in front of the Arrowhead School Board what it was like seeing a photo of his son sitting at the lunch table with a racial slur written underneath.
I brought him all the way here from Georgia just to play football for this program. Like, we only here for business, and that's to get him to the next level. It's the first time this matter happened with my kid, but, you know, I go through this every day.
After an emotional plea to the board to understand how harmful situations like these are, the father of five told me speaking out about this was for more than just his own peace of mind.
It's not about just like me. It's not about my son, even though it happened to my son. It's about the generation that's coming up. It's about the other kids that are actually in school going through it elsewhere around the world. It's just something that just needs to stop.
Are speaking out after a video circulating on social media shows a white student using racist slurs.
The university is responding to this video, but as Ward Jollis explains, black student leaders feel more needs to be done.
Disgusted. Horrified.
Extreme. Disgusted, horrified, and extreme. Three words these black student leaders at UW-Madison are using to describe a video now circulating on social media depicting a white student using racist slurs. We blurred and silenced it because of its offensive language.
It's really just sad to, like, see. And it hurts, and it's disgusting. You know, you don't want to hear this stuff.
And these three students say it's not the first time they've been subject to racism on campus.
This should bring a huge and robust realization to this campus that racism is here and it's active and present in every single day, and that black and brown students experience it every single day, but that it's just not always videotaped.
And it's things are a little foreboding, and yet I have figured out, and I don't know if I actually believe this, like, I might totally be fooling myself, right? So you don't have to buy it. I don't even know if I buy it, but I'm going to try to tease out some optimism of this moment. Here it is. Let's see how this works, right? For the last 8 years, as I've gone around the country doing this work, talking about race in America, and not just myself, other people who do this work as well, for the last 8 years, we have been having to convince people, particularly to convince white Americans, that the issue of race and racism was even something we had to talk about, right? Because people were convinced we didn't have to talk about it anymore because a black man was president. And of course, how can we have a racism problem when a black man is president? Which, of course, is not something we would say about sexism in Pakistan just because a woman, Benazir Bhutto, became the head of that country not once but twice. It's not something we would say about Great Britain just because Margaret Thatcher became the head of state on several occasions. It's not something we would say about Germany or Ireland or Israel or India or the Philippines, all of which have had female heads of state. We wouldn't say sexism was dead in those places. We wouldn't say misogyny and patriarchy had been eradicated there, but in this country, that is sort of what we said for 8 years about race and racism just because a man of color was in the White House. So for 8 years, it's been like pulling teeth, man. It's like holding people's hands to convince them that racism is a thing. Okay, here's the good news in this bad moment. We don't have to convince people of that anymore. Right? The hand holding, the teeth pulling, right? We don't have to do that now because it's a little more obvious to people. Now, never underestimate the ability of white folks to miss stuff, though. Right? So I'm not saying that everybody sees it. I'm just saying I think it's more obvious now. And the good news, if there is some good news, is that we don't have to do the 101. Right? The good news, if there is some good news, is that we now have enough evidence, the resurgence of overt racism, not only in our politics but around our country, the resurgence and continuation, really, of systemic injustice, ICE raids on folks that have done nothing to nobody. Talk of building walls, but only on this border, never this border, only this border, never that border. Because we're not worried about crafty Canadians sneaking in to take advantage of our health care system, I suppose, right? So we have all of this overt resurgence of Islamophobia, overt resurgence of the othering of those who appear and seem or pray or speak differently than the dominant group. So unlike the last 8 years where we were in this sort of intermission period, right, we're sort of back to the continuation of a long-standing tradition. Now, some of y'all may remember back in the day, some of the older folks in the room will remember back when Sunday football, NFL football, used to only be on CBS. It's before Fox had a license to show games, and it was just CBS. And there were usually two games a day. Now, I live in the Central Time Zone, so in the Central Time Zone, I don't know about out here, but it was 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Right? And the 3 o'clock game, if you were on the East Coast or in the Central Time Zone, would always bleed over into the 6 o'clock hour, which is when 60 Minutes comes on, right? And so what would happen, now if you're on the West Coast, they would show it in real time, you know, because y'all were behind a couple hours, and so you could see it live. It didn't interrupt 60 Minutes. But if you were on the East Coast or in Central Time, it would bleed over, and about 6:15, the game would end, right? And the announcer would come in, and the voiceover would say, "And now back to your regularly scheduled programming." Right? That's sort of what the election of Donald Trump is, y'all, just so you know. It is back to your regularly scheduled programming. It's not something new. It's not a break with tradition. Folks that are tripping on the election of Donald Trump who act like somehow this is a deviation from America's norm, that this is somehow some unique, horrible break with the history of the country. No. The glitch was the 8 years of the Obama administration. This is back to your regularly scheduled programming. The history of politicians scapegoating black and brown folks, blaming them for problems that they didn't create, and then getting votes on the basis of that, that's not new. Donald Trump didn't create that, didn't invent that. That's been going on for 400 years back to the colonial period before we even were a country. So the first lesson is don't assume that what's happened all of a sudden is a new thing. Don't be shocked by it. This is normal for America.
None of this stuff is funny. Racism is not funny. Any kind of hate towards any culture is not funny at all.